Because David was a man after God's own heart. And as he is sharing his heart and his psalms, from his heart, I'll call it his journal. And he is sharing how, from his heart, he is recognizing and knowing the love of God and knowing the provision of God. Amen? That's what the Psalms are all about. The Psalms are all about digging into the human mind, the human heart, and seeing how God will restore it and how God will transform you and He will turn you into what His heart has desired. Amen? That's what the Psalms are all about. So the Psalms are always great. Psalms are always great because you can always identify. We can always identify with the Psalms. Now, in one day or another, it may be not, one psalm may not identify with you in a particular day, but you flop through them, two or three or four pages of psalms, and you're going to find your day. Anybody ever notice that? You kind of find your day and find out what you're doing. Norman, help that man right there. And you're going to find your day. If you're reading those psalms, you're going to find your day. And your day is, and the Lord will be enabled by the Spirit of God living on the inside of you to be able to receive from that testimony. Amen. You ever seen that before? Huh? I have. Anybody? That guy there. Amen. Praise the Lord. Help me out. Amen. Let's look at this Psalm 139. O Lord, You have searched me and known me. Oh Lord, You have searched me and known me. Some of the time when you ever come into a circumstance or a situation that is something that's troubling, something that's a daily that just comes upon you and it's something that you're not prepared for, you're not looking for, it just kind of sideswipes you and comes in. And most of us have kind of run across, if you've lived any longer than about past 12, you have kind of run across one of those circumstances that will kind of come your way and that'll cause you to be shaken up in the natural during your day. Amen? Anybody ever done that? Yeah, getting married will do it, going to school will do it, going to work will do it, meeting with people will do it, you're going to run across some kind of circumstance where people will be involved and all of a sudden you have something to deal with, amen? Because people, you think it's funny where God kind of made people, God said that it was not good that man should be alone, I'm going to make a helper for him. Well, that works out great in the first 10 minutes. Wow, cool, awesome. Until you get to figure out that person's a people. Amen? And that person has their own mind. And that person has their own thoughts. And their own evaluation of the circumstances. And it may not agree with yours. That may be true of a husband, a wife, children, parents. Especially when young people kind of get a little bit older and of a mind of their own, they figure out their parents aren't perfect and they haven't and their parents are so old they haven't quite come along yet to the latest thing, to the newest thing. They're kind of stuck in the past. Anybody ever notice that? I've always felt that that was me. I was kind of a parent that was stuck in the past, just kind of old and crotchety and kind of my own opinion. And so anybody ever felt like that? Yeah, okay, I thought so. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's pretty much everybody who's had kids that are older than 12. Amen. So it's powerful because you end up having to deal with people with their own minds, people with their own thoughts, people with an attitude, and with something that they came up with, a thought they came up with that would disagree with yours. And so here God says, or David says, Lord, You have searched me and known me. Now we've talked about, we talked over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, is that no one knows the heart of a man except the heart of the man that's in him. And no one knows the heart of God except the Spirit of God which is in him. But here God says, and this is back in the Old Testament, this is not the New Testament, which Paul was talking through and through with the knowledge of, but here we're talking to David, talking to the Lord, saying, "You have searched me and known me." How many know that the Lord has searched you and known you? Amen? He has. He absolutely knows you. One thing you can be assured of is that the Lord is not ignorant of where you are, and what you know, and what you feel, and what you think about something. He's not ignorant of that. He actually knows that. That verse over in 1 Corinthians is talking about nobody like a person knows the inside of you except you. Except the Lord. He knows everything on the inside of you. Trust me. Trust Him. He knows every thought. He knows every burden that you have. He has searched you, and not only has He searched you, He didn't get lost. Huh? I said He didn't get lost. He actually knows exactly who you are and what you are. He knows exactly how to speak and to touch your heart. I am fully confident that God knows everything about me and knows exactly how to touch my heart and to move me and to set me in the proper place and position. And I am confident that what He has begun, He is able to finish. Amen? So here, in saying that you have searched me and known me, that is my first confidence, is that God is not at a loss when it comes to everything that concerns me. Amen? He is not. He is absolutely not. You know, and Janet was talking about, you know, God, have you forgotten me? Absolutely not. He just knows the big picture. So many of us, we have every one of us, all we can see is what we see around us and what's been past. You cannot see what's going to happen tomorrow. You can't, you won't, you won't know. You have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know what Donald Trump is going to say. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen after lunch. It's almost scary, isn't it? I mean, you know, you're thinking you're going to get up and go from here and off to lunch somewhere, or you have whatever plan that you have. You don't know what is coming next. That could be spooky, but we've kind of conditioned ourselves to kind of like, well, you know, you don't know. Que sera, sera. You know, whatever will be, will be. The future, Doris Day, you know. I mean, you thought she was a happy gal, you know. It's pretty much, she knew that whatever's going to happen is going to happen. What a good way to live, though, is because you're confident that God has searched you and known you, and that there is nothing that He doesn't know. He already knows that. How many know God knows the end from the beginning? He knows the end from the beginning. He does know what's happening after lunch. He just hadn't shared it with you. Amen? Because you might run the other way, or you might not want to participate in what's happening after lunch. But the thing is that God knows you, and God knows exactly what is necessary for you to live a powerful life in the Spirit. Amen? See, the reason you're still here, the reason David was here under the auspices of the Lord, man after God's own heart, the reason he was there, and the reason you're still here is because as a believer, you're here to demonstrate the goodness of God. Well, I thought I was here to go to college. I thought I was here to go to work. I thought I was here to have a career and get married, have a husband, have a wife, and have kids, and live till grandpa's age, and go to heaven. Well, yeah, all that may be true, but there's stuff along the way that the Lord has planned, and He has planned for you. So you want to be prepared every day with the idea that God has got a plan for me. Amen? Huh? I mean, you know, we gather together here on Sunday, you know, hoping to hear a way to get out of our problems. Well, I got news for you. We're not going to help you with that. We're not going to help you get out of your problems. We're going to help you get to God. God can help you with the problems. I can't help you with the problems. Amen? I don't have that much money. You know, most problems are half the problems are fixed with money. Well, I can't help you with that. But what I do have is the ability to share with you the love of Jesus and the love of God for you, that He is going to meet your need from the heart first. Amen? from the heart first. You need your needs met from the heart first. You don't need your needs met outwardly first. You need confidence and rest first. That's absolutely what you need. No. I need this, that, and the other. No, you don't need this, that, and the other. What you need is rest. You need peace to know that God has already met your needs from the foundation of the world. Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my downsitting and my uprising. You understand my thought afar off. You compass my path, you're all around my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but, O Lord, you know it altogether. So that word on the tip of your tongue, he knows you altogether. What are we talking about today? Talking about how the Lord himself knows you intimately. Amen? He knows you, not just us-ins, you know, as a group, the folks in the church. He doesn't know just us. He knows you. He knows Judy personally, individually. He loves her, and his desire is always on her behalf. Amen? That's true of every person in this room. And even the people who you thought of who are not here. The Lord is doing a great thing. What I want to get with you today is that the Holy Spirit is daily working on the inside of you. I want to break the idea that we just kind of live life and kind of run into God occasionally. You know, when it's kind of like God's kind of like the police. You know, he's there when you need him. You know, when you call 911. No, you actually are living with God every single day. You're living with the Holy Spirit each and every day, and he is ministering to you, calling to you, and desiring to direct and guide you, and for you to receive his promise. Every day. That's what I'm reading here. Very first time I read this. You have searched me and known me. Look at verse 5. You have beset me behind and before. So you're in front of me. You're behind me. You have laid your hand upon me. This is personal. David is recognizing the personal relationship that he has with God the Father. David's not afraid of God. David knew God as the one who was with him when he slew the lion and slew the bear and slew Goliath. I want to know God as the one who is with me and not against me. I want you to know this morning that God is with you and he's for you and he's not against you. There is so much religion, and even people who have been here a long time, is that you still have an inkling. That's like a thought in the back of your mind that you can't get rid of. That God is not for you if certain things apply. No. Listen. God is always for you. He has never been against you. He has never been against you in any way. He sent Jesus Christ to die on a cross to redeem you by his blood. He is now desiring that you would receive that promise fulfilled. He started out as a promise to Abraham. Abraham received the promise in the same way that you do. He was just looking forward to it. He was looking forward to it. We're looking back at it from a timeline perspective, but it's the same promise and had the same effect. He said, those who live by faith are the ones who receive the promise of God. Those who live by faith in the promise. Whether it was Abraham ahead of time, or David ahead of time, or whether it was you and me after the fact, or Paul immediately after the fact, you and I 2,000 years after the fact, that Jesus is coming. He is coming again. He will come to receive His church. He will come to receive you and I. But today, you and I living in this body, we have a God who is for us and with us and desires to minister and to minister that same gospel to the world through you. Well, I don't have an airplane. Well, that's okay. You got neighbors. You have co-workers. You have students that you deal with daily. You have people you see daily. And the Holy Spirit is on the inside of you to work daily, diligently, to share the good news. That's who you are. Now, it's not, maybe it's not even discussing it or talking about it. First of all, it's just love. First of all, it's just you walking in love. Amen? In other words, when somebody offers you an offense, you don't take it. Anybody ever had that? You know, somebody offers you an offense, and you just say, yeah. And with your other hand, you punch them in the nose, or with your tongue, you slice them up. You know, some people aren't real good with their left hook, but they're great with their tongue. They can slice somebody up, both, you know, to their face and behind their back. Or just in your own heart. Anybody ever notice that? That's another thing is we tend to do. We may not talk to anybody else about the circumstance, but we'll talk to ourselves. Speaking to ourselves in not exactly psalms and hymns, but we're speaking to ourselves about so-and-so. You know, that individual who, rather than recognizing the fact that that individual is without hope and without joy. Because they just sliced me up. Well, it's because they don't know the love of God. They don't know the love of God. When we read about so many instances of the Muslim Quran being taken literally, of course, you know, the Bible was certainly taken, Old Testament was certainly taken literally. Come on in. Come on in. Well, there, we'll go find her. That'd be fine.
I like to watch people speak with this thing, but
that's okay.
I'll do it next Sunday.
Okay.
I don't have any doubt.
All right. So God does great things, and He's taking you, and He's utilizing you, and bringing so that you don't have a way that you're going to get somebody back, but you're in fact going to turn around and love them, knowing that they have a difficulty in that circumstance or in that part of their ability to communicate with you. They have some other idea. We had, we talked about the Muslim faith and the Christian faith with respect to the Old Testament of the Bible, is that, yeah, were there portions of our scripture where we, you know, where God was commanding the unbelievers to be killed or wiped out. Since Jesus, see, that was a nation. We were talking to the Jews as a nation, to Israel as a nation. But since Jesus says, no, we don't operate that way. Here's how we operate. We operate in love. Amen? We operate bringing the love of God to somebody's heart to transform them, to bless them, to show them the love of Christ. That's how we're doing it. That's what the love of God does. He begins to work on the inside of you rather than to respond to an offense. He begins to respond to an offense with love, kindness, tenderness, and to transform that circumstance and situation. Amen? Now, I know. I've done the same thing. You know, somebody says something, you say, wait a minute. Yeah, how many know your emotional person will respond first? Anybody ever had that example? Everybody had that experience? Where you just stand up and begin to speak your mind first? Especially those of you involved in politics, like me and Emma. Amen. She hasn't learned self-control yet. No, I'm just kidding. She's doing okay. But that hairy guy, boy, he's tough. All right. So God is using you daily You have searched me and known me. You know where I go. You know what I do. Now look here at you have verse 5 again. You have beset me behind and before. God is with you every moment of every day to work in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. Amen? He hasn't left you alone. He hasn't left you by yourself. He doesn't do that because the Holy Spirit is dwelling on the inside of you to manifest His love. Verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, and I cannot attain to it. Well, that's a given. That's been obviously observed. Is that this knowledge of this God's presence is too much for me to comprehend, and I cannot attain to it, certainly. I can't perform it. You know, Philippians says those that to will is with me. But how to do, Romans 7, to will is present with me, but how to perform, I don't know. Anybody been there? It's kind of like all of a sudden you have this knowledge that God wants to work in you, but all of a sudden you cannot seem to cooperate. Somehow or another, I just don't seem to have it in me to cooperate, even though in Philippians 2 he says, the Lord is in me both to will and to do of His good pleasure. He's in me both to will and to do. Again, same Holy Spirit. Now look at verse 7 here in Psalm 139. Where shall I go from your Spirit? Well, I thought the Holy Ghost wasn't until Acts chapter 2. No, the Spirit of God was in the earth ministering to each believer who had put hope and faith in the promise of Abraham that that Savior was coming. And that if you would believe, you would be called righteous. So even in David's day, it says, where shall I go from your Spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? I'm going to bring into you today, a lot of time we talk about a lot of stuff, is that the presence of God, I want you to have the understanding and the rest and confidence that, number one, the Spirit of God is with you continually all the time. He doesn't like come and go. Well, I got the Spirit today. Where'd He go? No, first of all, it's a promise that He is always there, that He's not going to leave, and that you can count on His favor in every circumstance. Where shall I go from your Spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend up into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. Often, if I'm in church or if I'm in, wherever I find myself, if I have sinned grossly and I have fallen into something, you are there and you haven't left me. Well, God's going to run away. He doesn't like. No, He is with you because you belong to Him. And because you have failed or done something stupid doesn't mean that God left you. Huh? Come on. God has not left you because you have failed or done something ridiculous, something stupid. Because He loves you, you have put hope in His promise, and He is loving you and drawing you and desiring and transforming you. Can you say amen? Or hallelujah, one or the other. Thank God. How's that? How many of you have messed up? Often. Absolutely. But immediately God wants you to come back to Him and say, Lord, thank you for forgiving me. I did ridiculous. I did awful, stupid. I responded either in the flesh to some stimulus or whether it was an offense or whether it was something that I felt sorry for myself and I went and sinned over. Huh? And what I want you to do is encourage you to quickly get rid of all of these things that are busy just taking you down for the rest of the day, the week, the hour, the month, whatever it is. Is because so many people think God is mad at them for you know, 24 hours. You know, put them in the drunk tank for 24 hours. Huh? God is not interested in punishing you for 24 hours or putting you in jail for 30 days. He is interested in you receiving forgiveness immediately and beginning to walk again according to the promise. You have searched me and known me. You have searched me and known me. That's verse 1. All right, verse 8, verse 9. Okay, if I make my bed in hell, you're there. You're there. God's there? Really? In hell? Well, yeah. He wants to be with you. He's with you. Wherever you ended up, just deciding to show up inadvertently, He's with you. He did not leave you. He has not left you. You know, so people use the Word of God to kind of scare you into the fact, well, good boy, God's mad, or boy, God's going to get you, or you just lost it. Absolutely not. No, in fact, He loves you. He's chasing after you. Huh? He's chasing after you. His desire is to have you as His child, as His son, as His daughter. Verse 9, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall your hand, what? Lead me. If I end up lost, if I end up lost on the other side of the planet, could be on the other side of town, if I end up lost and it seems like the other side of the planet, anybody ever been there? Huh? You ever been to the other side of town? And the Lord is with you. He is with you. He loves you. And He will bring you back. But the bringing back is, first of all, not living under guilt and condemnation, but the coming back is, Lord, thank you that you love me. Thank you that you have forgiven me. Thank you that, Lord, I did this. Like he didn't know. He was there. But Lord, I did that. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you that you have set me free and delivered me. And he begins to use you again. In fact, the funny thing is, God can use you right on that side of town. Because he knew you were going to show up there. So he had Mara over there, and he needed to talk to her. He said, "Oh, well, I happen to have Barty over there, you know." And people love it when you call her name. He just happens to be right around the corner, and you know, boom, people run into each other, and all of a sudden, you have the Word of God delivered by somebody who there was no way that individual would ever have shown up otherwise. But God happened to know that you were getting delivered and you just show up on the side of town that God needs somebody immediately there. You know, God can use you anywhere. God can use you even with you when you make your bed in hell. Huh? Because He knows where you were. And He's with you. And He hasn't left you alone. Aren't you excited? Amen. Praise the Lord. Look. We read over in Psalm 29, you know, before we get to the verse that everybody likes, you know, I know the plans. Is that, you know, when you find yourself in a country or a city that God that you have been carried away captive by your own foolishness, that God said, okay, I want you to build houses, plant gardens, settle in. You know, settle in, seek the peace of that city. Why? Because I got people in that city who need Jesus. I got people where you ended up stupidly, who need Jesus. So wherever you find yourself, thank God. Wherever you find yourself, thank God. Now, did you get there by foolishness? Yeah, just repent. Repenting meaning this. Don't try not to do it again. We always have to re-explain the word repent. You ever notice that? The word repent is not grovel on the ground and say you're sorry. The word repent is change your mind and believe the gospel. Change your mind to believe that God has forgiven you and He's set you free and He made a provision to totally take your sin away and use you in a powerful way right where you are. That's repenting. The word is Greek. It means, it's metanoia. It means change your mind. But the Latin version of the word, which is usually translated from most Bibles, is penance, which is, you know, do 15 of these. You know, 15 Hail Marys, 15 beads, you know. Do a bunch of stuff to make up for what you did. That is not repentance. Say it. That is not repentance. It sounds like it. Penance, repentance. It kind of sounds like it. It's really not. You know, we should have a little lesson. We should write a song about it. About what it is and what it's not. And we could sing it every Sunday, you know, and we put it on Hillsong or something and, you know, begin, you know, doing nationwide, worldwide, you know. Yeah, but it doesn't seem like it's a popular item somehow. People like doing stuff to make up for stuff. People like paying penance because they feel like they're paying stuff back. Did you believe that? Do you believe that people like paying things back? You know, I hear these things on the radio all the time that say, the credit card companies want you to think you have to pay back all your debt. Well, that's what I thought. Apparently, there's some kind of scheme out there. So you ran up all your credit cards, now you don't have to pay them back. The only place that's true is in the church. Amen. The only place that's true is in God, where you have no ability to pay back what you've done. Jesus Christ forgave all of you. God the Father forgave your sin through Jesus. Amen? But if you run up your credit cards, you've got to pay them. Sorry. Well, he said I didn't have to. The guy on the radio. I don't care. I'm going to tell people, you know, I don't care what they told you. You pay back your debt. They'll pay it back. You know, well, don't have to. Yeah, you do. Pay it back. Pay the guy back. Well, that was a depressing message, wasn't it? And Jesus will forgive you, but the bank won't, or, you know, or Visa won't. Yeah. All right. Praise the Lord. Problem is with these kind of messages, you get off onto something that you don't need to. Out at the othermost parts of the sea, verse 9, verse 10, even there your hand shall lead me, your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light all around me. So you're saying, oh, the darkness is going to get me. Even the light's going to be around you. The darkness is going to get me. Now the light's going to be around you because the Holy Spirit, the living God, is always with you, for you. Amen? He's always with you. He's always for you. See, here's this thing. This is a meditation. All right? You begin to read this scripture. You begin to read this psalm. The psalms are meditation. That is, thinking about things you're thinking about. You're rolling them over and over again in your mind. That's what the meditation is for. The meditation is that you're eating this, chewing this, like a cow eating his cud. You know how that works, right? You eat it, you swallow it, you bring it back and enjoy it again, and swallow it again, bring it back. The guy's got four stomachs. So he just kind of keeps enjoying it over and over again. That's what you're doing with God's promise. You're meditating upon His Word. You're thinking about the things that He told you. You're thinking about the things that He promised you. You know, you can think about that, or you can think about what went wrong. Anybody notice that? How many times do you tend to bring up the thing that went wrong? Then what happens to your guts? What happens to your insides? Is you're in turmoil. You're suffering. You've got self-destruct. You've got all of this going on the inside of your gut because you're meditating on what happened rather than on what God did to redeem it. Maybe you hadn't seen the redemption yet. It's okay. Keep meditating on it. God is bringing it to pass. Amen? Hallelujah. Yea, the darkness, verse 12, yea, the darkness hides not from you, Lord, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. God's never in the dark. You think you're in the dark? He's never in the dark. Well, God is so dark. I can see everything. He said, I can see everything just fine. It's okay. Not a problem. Amen? So are you enjoying receiving every promise? Are you? And that good fact that God knows you, He has searched you, and He knows you. He knows you inside out. He knows what's going on, even if you don't know how to articulate it. Even if you don't know how to say it, He knows your cry. Amen? He knows you live in a body that's passing away. He knows you live in a world that's passing away with people that, well, just with people. Let's just leave it at that. And you're one. You know, well, Lord, if I didn't have to deal with people, I just had to deal with you. Well, the problem is you're one. Amen. You keep running into you every morning. You know. Get up in the morning, there you are. Praise the Lord. You know, everything would be great if it wasn't for you. Oh, listen to you. Now somebody's going to say that, take that and just go run with it. Yeah, it's just all about me. No, the fact is that God loves you. And He is desiring every day to greet you in the morning. Amen? And to love you, to care for you. I mean, you're His favorite. Verse 13, look at that. For you have, this is Psalm 139. We're in verse 13. For you have possessed my reins, that is my inward parts. Everything that concerns me, my stressed out parts. You have possessed me. You have covered me in my mother's womb. From my mother's womb, you've covered me. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Let's say that. Everybody say that. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Okay, you can take that and sing about it. Marvelous are your works. Boy, that's even the thing you just made. Marvelous are your works. You see, you can look at it yourself in the morning. You know, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Oh, God, how marvelous are your works. My, look at that. And that my soul knows right well, very well. My soul knows that. That guy right there is happy that God made him. And he's happy because God said it. Because God promised it. Not because of what he's looking at. Amen? I want you to know that God loves you, not because of what you're going to be, but he loves you because of what you have believed. Is that he loves you? He likes it that you love, that you know that he loves you. Exactly where you are. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul, that is my mind, my will, my emotions, not just my cold heart, you know, just my belief, but my soul knows that. I know that from my gut, is that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, that's a transformation that takes place, okay? That's a transformation that takes place, but you have to, the important thing is to believe His promise from the outside, just from the outset, is that God loves you. Amen? Just say it. God loves me. He thinks I'm great. He thinks I'm awesome. Not because of what I do, because I believed His promise. He likes anybody that'll believe His promise. I'm not trying to perform or do something to make Him happy with me, and neither should you. He already searched you and knew you. And He showed up anyway. He searched you, He knows you, and He showed up because He loves you. Works happen when, good works happen when you know that God loves you and you don't have any needs. That's when good works happen, okay? You don't do good works to make God happy with you. Good works come because you are God. You know God is happy with you. Huh? So good works don't come from you so that God will be happy with you. When you know that God is happy with you and He loves you, that's when good works start to happen. Because you are free. All your needs are met. Verse 15, my substance was not hid from you when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth. That just means from the dust. Your eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in your... So God knew it. God knew you were not perfect, and He picked you. And in your book, this is the middle of verse 16, in your book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. Your thoughts toward me. When I awake, I am still with you. You know, he'd been watching over you all night and he's still there. Important. Though I'm talking a long time, know this, that the most important thing for you to get out of what we're talking about today is to enjoy the presence of the Lord and know that He's not mad at you, that He has forgiven you, and that He is working in you. That which He may have told you to do, He is actually going to perform it. Amen? When I awake, I am still with you. Surely, verse 19, you shall slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloody men, for they speak against you wickedly, and your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, that hate you? And am not grieved with those, or am I not grieved with those that rise up against you? I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Now, who are we talking about? Are we talking about people?
Evil spirits.
Talk about evil spirits? Talking about the evil that is in the world that draws men to it. Amen? For our battle in the New Testament, he says, is not with flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities and powers. Rulers of darkness in high places. This is where our enemies are. You know, we're not talking about people. We're talking about the spirit that is of the world that we hate and which has taken hostage most of the world. What are we here for? To deliver those who are bound. Jesus said it. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He has anointed me to bring sight to the blind, to bring deliverance to the captives, and set at liberty them that are bruised. That's you.
Amen.
That's the people. That's what we hate with a perfect hatred, is the bondage that the enemy has delivered and put upon the world that they believe. Verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Back to verse 1. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So, Father, come, search me out. Search me out. Come and dwell in me. Search me out. Know me. And lead me in the way everlasting. That's my prayer. That's your prayer. Amen? Is to lead you in the way everlasting and to know that God has already known you, already chosen you because of faith, because of the fact that you have believed that Jesus Christ died for your sin, paid for everyone, and was risen again from the dead that you might live eternally. Amen? This is the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. So again, verse 1, Psalm 139, you have searched me and known me. Verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way. Well, I'm sure there is. Any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. So, if there be a wicked way in you, His desire is not to destroy you or to cause you to pay, but to say, what is the way everlasting? To believe in Him whom He has sent. What's the work of the gospel? That you might believe on Him whom God has sent. Amen? All right. Father, we just pray. Thank you this morning. Thank you this morning that you have searched us and that you know us and that you daily are working in us that which is good, well-pleasing in your sight. That we daily receive your forgiveness and daily reject those things which the enemy brings our way to try to compensate or to protect our own value. Because you have placed your value upon us. We are highly valued by you. So, Father, we thank you that you love us. We thank you that you are transforming us and that you are causing us to walk in love and to demonstrate the love of Jesus Christ and to bring the promise of the Father, the promise of the Holy Spirit to each man and woman living. Thank you that we are those who are brought to someone's house to deliver them, even though we ended up there inadvertently by maybe some crazy fault of our own, that you forgive us and you use us. We love you and give you praise. We love you and give you praise. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for delivering me. Thank you, Lord God, that you are using me daily and you are not ashamed. I cast every burden of my failure, as Janet said, upon you today. I cast all of that on you, casting down every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Every lie that the enemy wants to perpetrate on us to destroy our testimony and destroy the work of God through this vessel, which has been prepared for every single day to be a vessel of deliverance and honor, to bring as many who will come into the kingdom. And we give you the glory and give you the praise in the name of Jesus. Amen.